Right, it's exactly 11:30. TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. Once a fortnight, we have Myra with us from the Citizens Advice Bureau in Spain. And Myra, good morning on the phone this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes, now you are in an area which you were particularly badly hit yesterday.
Yes. It's the roads, really, and badly hit, like a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, the Sabanillas, Manilva area of the Costa del Sol yesterday, some of the pictures that I was looking at were just unbelievable.
They were, weren't they?
Yeah. The
whole village or the town has been flooded, basically. I can't think, even on higher ground, it's been absolutely amazing, and lucky no fatalities. So
yeah.
We've got that to be happy about, but of course things are still bad and people have been asked to stay at home and schools are closed in Manilva,
right,
in Estepona, in Mijas, in various other places today.
Well, hopefully that's the worst of it over with now, and it will drain away. It certainly, I'm very surprised that it's drained away so quickly up this way. I thought we'd wake up this morning to carnage, but actually it's actually drained away really quite well. So
that's very good to hear.
Yeah. So, Myra, we are going to talk about something that everybody kind of in the pub bandies around, all kinds of information, as usual, and most of it wrong, and that is the Padrón. Now, this is nothing to do with the Padrón peppers, which I love, but this is an official certificate which is required for a lot of Spanish procedures. What is a Padrón?
Okay. The Padrón is it's a municipal census of habitants.
Mm-hmm.
Not the electoral roll, that census, but it does link up. But it's a municipal census of habitants.
Right. So basically, their purposes of having a Padrón are to work out how many people live here, because once they know how many people live in a certain area, the national government will then fund them to that level.
Yes, it's that, and also because they have to keep some sort of control of who, how many, and who are the inhabitants or the habitual inhabitants of a town, because there's also rights and obligations to that as well.
Yes. And not everybody is very good at registering on the Padrón, are they? Particularly, I would guess, as expats. I think I'm right in saying that the Spanish have to be registered in order to vote during the elections. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And also, that is one of the rights that the expats have from EU and other countries, the entitlement to vote and also to stand in an election.
Mm.
And you have to be on the Padrón for that, as there are also other rights and obligations.
Now, we know, because we keep hearing about it, that we're not getting on the Padrón enough and people are just not doing it. I guess people are scared. Is it a kind of a Big Brother thing? Is that what people are worried about?
No, it seems there's lots of rumours about Big Brother, but we will talk about access to it. But it's basically, I mean, the Padrón also works under the guidance of the INE in Spanish. It's the National Institute of Statistics. So every month the town hall has to provide figures for any new additions or anybody removed from the register.
Right.
So it is sort of important. I always wonder just how how right these statistics are. We know that they're not correct, because I've seen sort of amounts registered in the INE, and it's nothing to how many of us are actually living here.
Right.
And of course, these figures then go up to the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be a little bit confused when you've got somebody either not registered anywhere or registered here and in their home country, which is a definite no-no.
Yes. There doesn't seem, on the face of it to me, to be any disadvantage at all to being registered on the Padrón, but there are benefits of being on the Padrón, aren't there?
Yes, there are rights. It doesn't give you, at the moment, an automatic right to be considered as a resident. This is something the non-EU South Americans have always registered on the Padrón, and Moroccans, to be able to sort of say, well, look, I've been a habitual resident for X amount of time, and be able to then go on to get their residency.
Right.
Spain is sort of trying to move away from the word residence or domicile. But it still states it in the law, so I wonder as well whether it could help. It's something else for me to look at, the fact that you are domiciled in a town. And also the fact that you don't actually have to be a legal resident, or I mean you don't have to be registered in the register for European or citizens from the community, the European community, to register. You just have to be a habitual resident of Spain. In fact, if you're a habitual resident of Spain, it is your obligation to register on the Padrón, though they will remind you, or you will know, not they will not remind you, or the town hall, but the law does say that after 3 months, if you intend to stay here, you should apply for your residency. But of course, again, there's confusion, people saying that you have to have your residency first. No, you should have your padrón to show that you're habitual resident of a town to then apply for your residency.
Right, and you can't apply for residency without being on the padrón.
No, there are some places, I think, that have it the wrong way around. We've had news from some town somewhere saying that you have to be resident first to get on the padrón.
No.
But the important thing is as well that there are some errors and things being carried out not by the law, by town halls, because the town hall has no power to enter into the residency issue. Their job is to register all habitual residents on the padrón, on the census. It is not their job. It's quite clear in the law that they're not to interfere in residency matters. So it's interfering.
Got it. Other benefits of being on the padrón, obviously, the more people that turn up on the padrón, you get better public services.
Yes, of course, because you're using those public services, and that's why you should register. But there's much more than that. Besides going on to the electoral roll, you always have to check, besides being able to be involved in administrative actions, form neighbours association, be involved in your area. You also have the rights of things. A lot of town halls apply reduction in rates. And also there are other things, especially for pensioners, when you get a reduction in the cost of using health health centres in the sort of like the health gyms, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Also, it's very important that as people get older, if they're going to stay here, they may at some time need the ley de dependencia, which is the law of dependency, which means you may come out of a hospital, need care in the home, you're getting older, you need care in the home, you need somebody turning up to help you, to provide you food. You must be on the padrón, and you must have been on the padrón for 5 years before you make an application.
Oh.
This also with things like disability pensions and ordinary pensions. For disability, it's 5 years on the padrón. For pensions, non-contributive pensions, even if you haven't worked here, it's 10 years on the padrón. So there are a lot of
No problem.
A lot of advantages, and it's worth speaking to the town hall to see what they are.
Yes, so let's talk about actually getting hold of the right person to ask here, because you mentioned the town hall there. I think I'm right in saying that there aren't any, in inverted commas, national requirements about what you need to take with you, and every area is a bit different. So you really should go to the town hall and ask them, look, what do you want?
There shouldn't be like that. There is a law. There is a law in this case. And I will tell you the documents that you need. Because what is needed on the padrón is, for inscription, is your full name, your place and date of birth, the usual, your nationality, your sex and your ID number.
Right.
The documents are, if you own your property, it's the title of property, which is the escritura or nota simple. Also, if you're renting, a contract, an utility bill, or last receipt of payment of your rent. The town hall does have the power to accept other documents, and making the necessary checks, such as supplies of electricity, water, etc., those bills.
Right.
And in addition, the municipal manager can verify by other means, local police report, after they've inspected your home and seen that you live there. This just to verify that the neighbour, as you're known, actually lives at that address, and if so, to register you in the register.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that simple. If the town halls follow the law, like I said, first of all, they don't have any power to enter into the residency matter.
Right.
Subject. They don't have any power or any right to enter into the judicial or the legality of the property you live in.
Yes.
You can register if you live in a caravan.
Mm.
You can register if you live in what they call here a chosse, which is like a hovel. You can even register if your home doesn't have a roof. I know it's not going to affect
Blimey.
Most of...
you wouldn't have helped. That wouldn't have been that helpful yesterday, would it, if your home doesn't have a roof?
No. I'm sure that the thing is some today may not have much of a roof.
No, absolutely.
So, but it's just to sort of give you an idea when people get worried and they say, oh, I've been told we need this, and I've had a call from Madrid, were they Madrid or Barcelona, somewhere like that, where the town hall were insisting that the address they were renting at was registered in with the authorities.
Mm, goodness.
They're not allowed to do this. Now, these people needed their padrón quite urgently, and it was being held up by being asked for something that was not within the town hall's jurisdiction to do that. So this is why I sort of bring up the chosse and the home without a roof and a caravan, because it's not up to the town hall to decide what type of residence you're living in.
Interesting. So you show up at the town hall with your documents, and I'm guessing there's some photocopies involved here. Do you not have to take along a photocopy of your original passport as well?
Yes, you have to take your passports. I didn't add that. You have to take your passport, photocopies of everything, basically.
Right.
And also your passport, or they prefer to have your NIE number. If you have an NIE number, take that, but also your passport.
Okay.
If you have your residency, take that. But you cannot be turned down for not having certain documents, such as if your passport was out of date, as long as you could show there was an application for a new one, that should be accepted by law. If you've lost it, had it stolen with a police report, that's also... This is the odd case. It's just to make people see that it's not as stringent... Well, it is stringent, but there are... ways round when, you know, people think, oh, I haven't got my passport, I've lost it, I'm applying for a new one. As I said, you know, things like any problems, you can ask them to send the police around to see that you are living there.
When you turn up at the town hall, is it likely there'll be somebody there who can speak English?
I can't say that, and not likely. It depends where you are. Remember that the language here, a lot of people are complaining that English is not spoken, but the legal language here is Castilian Spanish or any of the dialects if you live in that region and not English.
Yes,
so
of course.
So be prepared to try, you know, they'll be quite happy with your documents. You try in your best broken Spanish. They'll be happy to help you. And hopefully somebody can speak a bit of English, but we can't expect that.
No, of course, absolutely. And assuming all documents are correct, all photocopies are correct, you've dotted your I's, you've crossed your T's and all that nonsense, how long does it take and what do you physically walk away with?
You won't. It'll take, depending again now on each town hall, it could take as little as a week, it could take a bit longer, it's always best to ask there. You're going to get your hoya de padrón, you're going to get a certificate either yourself or with your family.
Mm-hmm.
There's certificates that are singular or a whole family certificate with everybody on there.
Right.
On the same one. So
you get a physical piece of paper eventually, presumably sent to your home.
Yes, and that piece of paper you use, you'll be on the register, but of course if you need to use your padrón for purchasing something that applies for the padrón, I can't actually come to think of it. No, and if you had to do something like get your, not purchasing, sorry, that's your NIE, but if you had to go to the police station to get your residency, your padron mustn't be more than 3 months old. So what you do is your certificate will only be valid for 3 months in a lot of cases, but you are registered there until such a time as you remove yourself or you're removed.
So this is like the old way of the NIE, where the number stays, in other words, the registration stays, but the certificate ran out after 3 months. They've now changed, right?
Yes, so, they've changed that back. But I can't see the padron doing that in a hurry. It's trying to keep things up to date. It's mainly for residency. I don't think you'll be finding you'll need it. Residency or change of address on residency. You need an updated padron.
Yeah.
Applying for disability, applying for non-contributive pension, applying for lay. This is to prove that you're still on there, and it saves them having to check the register. And I don't think people realise that there can be a sanction for omission, for not registering on the padron. There can be a sanction because it's against the town hall regulations known as the ordinances. They brought the amount down that you can be sanctioned. It used to be quite high. But I've never known it happen, but you can be sanctioned for not, it's your obligation to register, so that's something to worry a few people.
That's a difficult one because it's not the law, but it's an obligation.
Yes, but it is. It's the ordinances are regulations, are like town hall laws.
Right.
They're different. It's a regulation, but you can. It's an infraction of the ordinance, which can be lots of other ways. You can break those rules, and one of them is not registering on the padron. Again, I've never known that ever happen. Let's see what the future brings. Spain is still catching up with.
And when you say then that for some things it's required that the padron is not older than 3 months, is the process of renewing it the same as doing it in the first place?
No, they'll have all your details. You go with your ID, and they'll give you your updated. They might charge you a euro. Some town halls do, some town halls don't, or a small amount.
Okay. We have a call actually coming in, so let's just take this and see where we are. Good morning, you're live on Talk Radio Europe.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Myra. Very interesting programme, as normal.
Thank you.
I can remember Benidorm Town Hall when it was the Mayor, Agustín Navarro, the socialist mayor previous to the Partido Popular administration, sending the police along with Town Hall staff around the various campsites in Benidorm, because they needed to take the population, the official population, to over 75,000 and move the town into a different category as far as medical services. And because they tried information and things, and they were just not interested in complying with their obligations. So they actually sent the police round, accompanying town hall officials, basically obliging them to sign.
There you are.
That was in the previous administration. It would have been about 5 years ago, I would imagine.
Interesting.
Well, that is, again, comes, you know, about being able to register from a caravan or a home.
Yeah.
No judgment of the home.
I can give you an absolute guarantee that that was the case because I reported on it at the time. But it's going to actually bite a lot of British people very severely on the backside, the fact of not getting registered on the padron and not be having a residence certificate. Basically, they're at the moment living here as illegal immigrants, which is fine while they're an EU member. And as soon as they left, they'll find that things, their world is going to be very different. I can give you a concrete example. They had a roundup in Benidorm, the National Police, a little while ago. I still got the press releases from the police because they send them to me. And they actually expelled 14 people from Benidorm alone that didn't have residence certificate, non-EU citizens.
Goodness, that's quite severe because normally they don't expel. I'd love for you to contact me, please, so we could...
Yeah, that was, as I said, that's non-EU citizens. And, of course, when the UK leaves, then they move into a different department. Obtaining residence papers is so much more difficult. So basically, I've still got the press release. But basically, I think what you're giving is excellent advice. People need to make themselves illegal, because it's all very well being an illegal immigrant, which they are while they're a member of the EU. Very, very different when they're not.
Yeah.
Well, the losses are already great now for not being resident, but there's a couple of things I'd like to say. I'm going to talk about the removal from the Padrón and your obligations there in a while. But also, one thing in favour from some of the earlier expats here of all nationalities was that the law for residency, before the Freedom of Movement Law, the 240/2007, the one before that in 2003, actually stated that you didn't have to register. So people,
yeah, you have to register in 90 days now. It's even on the
British
Home
Office
website. Yes, of course.
But what I'm saying is that for some of those people that sort of live somewhere and don't get in, sort of are not in touch, you know, you're obviously in touch with the Spanish, what's happening in Spain. A lot of people are living in a community. And, of course, the law did say then you didn't have to. This was only repealed, also giving you the right to do so at a later date, which was repealed in 2013. Of course, that law doesn't no longer exist, but I wonder if some people were following that. And you do get a lot of people that say, because though UK, especially UK citizens, you didn't have to, you will in the future have to register in the UK, people just thought that it was Europe and they could come out here. I'm not making excuses, but I'm trying to give a little bit of leeway to some of the people.
This is why that world is going to change, because they've had 43 years of doing what they want, and now very shortly they're going to find they're going to be in the same league as Albanians and Algerians.
Well, unfortunately,
difficult.
Yeah, unfortunately, even before Brexit is what you're referring to, people are already finding that, you know, the lack of healthcare, this sort of thing, and the difficulty now to taking out residency. It was so easy before 2012, and now it's so very difficult.
Yeah.
So there
September 1st, 2012 was the change.
Yes, and there are a lot of people that would like to take residency who didn't and are finding it very difficult now.
Well, my advice, and I'm sure you would echo it, is basically however difficult it is, do it. Because
difficulty
you are going to face now is nothing compared to the difficulty they're going to face in 2 years' time. I'm in the fortunate position, Myra, I've not needed a residence certificate. I've got a Spanish passport. So I don't speak with bias in that respect. Mm-hmm. I don't need a residence certificate.
Dave, as always, very informative. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank
all the best.
You very much. Thank
cheers.
You, Myra.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very good. Very interesting indeed, Myra.
Yes, it's something that has to be discussed, but it's okay when we're told the whole Brexit thing. It's okay when we've all been sort of this kind of mantra going around. We don't know what's happening, we don't know what's happening, we don't know what's happening, don't talk about it, hush. This is wrong. This is a very important, obviously it's another subject, this is very important and it should be discussed. And somebody today contacted me about going to a meeting, and I said, did I go? And I said, I don't go to these meetings. I don't want to hear we don't know anything, because we do know things. You cannot say, we do know things if we Brexit and we do know things if we don't Brexit.
Mm.
So all this trying to keep people, you know, hush and is wrong, and it's been repeated by our community. If somebody tries to give some advice or ask a question, we're told, well, you know, you don't know. We don't know. This is not, there are certain things that are obvious, but it's another program.
Yes. So we've got 2 minutes, Myra. You're going to talk about coming off the Padrón.
I think we've only got 2 minutes. I think more important that I say that a lot of people are being told that they must go and register every 2 years on the Padrón, and some people every 5 years. They must go and re-register. This is not an obligation for the resident, the neighbour, unless your circumstances have changed and you go and you know, renew your address, addition to the family, though deaths and births are passed on to the Padrón by the Civil Registry, in case people think deaths are not and they're avoiding inheritance taxes. They are monthly. But actually, the European citizens do not have to go at all unless they've been notified, usually in writing, by their town hall to check the records. So this 5 years, 2 years, the 2 years is for non-EU and also for EU, as the caller, Dave, is it, just said, are not on the civil are not on the register of of foreigners here, hence what we call residency. And they should check every 2 years because they can be removed. But we need to kill this this information that you have to go and register. It's up to its obligation is to the town hall to keep their registers up to date and to check after 5 years, people who've actually been on the residence certificate after 5 years to see if they're still here. They should notify you.
Right.
They can do anything to keep their registers up to date, but you do not just automatically go there.
Well, that makes total sense, doesn't it, if you think about it? Anything could have happened. You could have moved back to your home country and they wouldn't have a clue.
Yes, because you're supposed to let them know. But of course, people don't.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
up to the town hall, not for you to go and people are saying 2 years. No, that's a mistake. Even some lawyers have given information about 2 years. That is relating to non-EU.
Got it.
The EU, we're known as no E-N-S, E-N-C-S-A-R-P, N-S-A-R-P is actually. So it's, yes. Lots more I could have spoken about, but time does go quickly.
It does. But anyone who wants any more information can talk to yourselves by your very excellent webpage or indeed your Facebook page where you're kind of fielding inquiries there, but mainly the webpage. Just Google Citizens Advice Bureau Spain is the easiest way, isn't it, Myra?
Yes, it is.
Myra, thank you so much. I hope the floodwaters recede for you and we will hopefully see you back in the studio in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you, Bill.
All the best, Myra. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Talk Radio Europe.